Have you ever felt like you weren't a priority for the people around you? Maybe you did something great, had an awesome idea, or really helped someone out, but nobody seemed to notice. I know that can be tough. Sometimes, even when you're doing all the right things, being there for everyone and making yourself available, people might not see your true value or might just overlook it. Honestly, if you keep trying to please people who don't give you the appreciation you deserve, you might end up feeling frustrated and disheartened, and turning things around can be really challenging. That feeling sucks, especially when it involves someone close to you like family, friends, or a partner. But what if I told you there are ways to make yourself a priority in someone's life and get the recognition you deserve? The truth is, if you understand and apply what we're going to talk about in this episode, it's totally possible. There are 9 powerful psychological strategies that can help you stay at the top of someone's priority list. By following these tips, you can make sure the people you care about always feel like you're a priority in their lives. In this episode, we're diving into these 9 strategies. We're going to explore the psychology behind how people think and act, pull some wisdom from ancient Stoic philosophers, and give you practical advice that you can use in your everyday life. Get ready to tap into your inner power, change the way others see you, and learn how to become a priority, get the recognition you deserve, and build stronger, healthier relationships. Join us in this exciting episode as we break down 9 powerful psychological strategies to become a priority in anyone's life. Strategy 1. The art of strategic absence. Spark their FOMO, fear of missing out. All right, folks, let's dive deep into the first strategy on our list. Creating the fear of losing you. Now, before you start raising eyebrows and clutching your pearls, let's get one thing straight. We're not talking about manipulation or playing mind games here. This is about understanding human psychology and applying it in a way that benefits you. Think of it like this. We humans are wired in a funny way. We often take things for granted until we're faced with the possibility of losing them. It's like that old saying, "You don't know what you've got till it's gone." The Stoics were all over this concept. They talked about the importance of appreciating what we have in the present moment, because nothing in life is guaranteed. Epictetus, one of the big names in Stoicism, put it bluntly, "Don't be prideful with any excellence that is not your own." In other words, don't get too attached to things that are outside your control, including other people's attention and affection. Now, how does this translate into making someone prioritize you? Well, it's about creating a subtle shift in the dynamic. You're not trying to make them jealous per se, but you are trying to make them realize that your time and attention are valuable commodities. The power of pulling back. Imagine you're constantly texting someone, always available to hang out, and basically bending over backward to accommodate them. What happens? They start to expect that level of attention. It becomes the norm, and when something's the norm, we tend to take it for granted. So what's the antidote? Strategic withdrawal. It's about creating a little bit of space, a little bit of mystery. Now, don't go ghosting someone completely. That's not what we're aiming for. It's more about subtle shifts in your behavior. Dial back the communication. If you're used to texting them 10 times a day, cut it down to 5. If you're always the one initiating plans, let them take the lead for a change. Be less available. Don't drop everything the moment they call. Have your own life, your own interests, your own friends. Show them that you're not just sitting around waiting for them. Keep some things to yourself. You don't have to share every little detail of your life with them. Maintain a bit of mystery, a bit of intrigue. The psychology behind it. When you start pulling back, it triggers something in the other person's brain. They start to wonder, why aren't they texting me as much? Why aren't they as available? And that's where the fear of missing out kicks in. They start to realize that they might lose you if they don't step up their game. Modern day examples. The social media detox. You know how it is. You're scrolling through Instagram, seeing everyone's highlight reel, and you start to feel like you're missing out. That's FOMO in action. So when you take a break from social media, people start to notice your absence. They might even reach out to see how you're doing. The busy friend. We all have that one friend who's always on the go. They're involved in a million different things, and their time is precious. Because they're not always available, their company feels even more special when you do get to hang out with them. The dating game. Playing hard to get is a classic example of creating the fear of losing you. It's about showing someone that you're not desperate, that you have options, and that can be incredibly attractive. A word of caution. Like any powerful tool, this strategy should be used with caution. If you pull back too much, you risk pushing the other person away completely. It's all about finding the right balance. Remember, the goal is not to manipulate or control someone. It's about creating a healthy dynamic where both people feel valued and appreciated. As the contemporary Stoic philosopher William B. Irvine puts it, the goal of Stoicism is to live a happy life, and one way to do this is to avoid becoming overly dependent on things that are outside our control. So, go forth and create a little bit of strategic absence in your relationships. You might be surprised at how it shifts the dynamic and brings you the attention and prioritization you deserve. Strategy 2. The always available trap. Why scarcity creates value. All right, let's talk about the second strategy in our playbook. Avoid being always available. Now, I know what you're thinking. Shouldn't I be there for the people I care about? Isn't being available a good thing? Well, yes and no. It's absolutely crucial to be supportive and present for your loved ones. But there's a fine line between being supportive and being a doormat. When you're always available, always at someone's beck and call, you risk becoming less of a priority and more of a convenience. The Stoics were wise to this dynamic. They understood the concept of scarcity and how it relates to value. Seneca, the Roman Stoic philosopher and statesman, once said, "It is not that we have a short time to live, but that we waste a lot of it." In other words, our time is a precious resource, and we should be mindful of how we spend it. When you're constantly at someone's disposal, you're essentially devaluing your own time. You're sending the message that your time isn't that important, that it can be freely given away without any thought or consideration, and that's not a message you want to be sending, especially if you're trying to become a priority in someone's life. The law of supply and demand. Think about it in terms of basic economics. When something is scarce, its value goes up. When something is abundant, its value goes down. The same principle applies to your time and attention. If you're always available, always ready to drop everything for someone, they'll start to see you as a readily available commodity. But if you're a bit more selective with your time, If you make them work a little harder to get your attention, they'll start to appreciate it more. The importance of boundaries. Setting boundaries is key to avoiding the always available trap. It's about respecting your own time and energy and making sure that you're not overextending yourself for others. Now, this doesn't mean you should become completely unavailable or aloof. It's about finding a healthy balance. You can still be there for the people you care about, but you also need to make time for yourself, your own interests, and your own well-being. Modern-day examples. The overbooked calendar. We all know that person who's always booked solid. They have a packed schedule, and it's hard to get on their calendar. Because their time is limited, it makes any time you do get with them feel even more special. The exclusive club. Ever noticed how exclusive clubs and events seem to be more desirable? It's because they're not open to just anyone. There's a sense of scarcity, which makes people want to be a part of it even more. The limited time offer. Marketers use this tactic all the time. They create a sense of urgency by making an offer available for a limited time only. This triggers FOMO, fear of missing out, and makes people more likely to take action. The Stoic perspective. The Stoics would argue that being overly available can also lead to emotional turmoil. When you're constantly at someone else's disposal, you're giving them the power to dictate your emotions and well-being. As Marcus Aurelius, the Roman emperor and Stoic philosopher, wrote in his Meditations, "You have power over your mind, not outside events. Realize this, and you will find strength." By setting boundaries and prioritizing your own needs, you're taking back control of your life and your emotions. You're not letting others dictate your happiness or your sense of self-worth. Balancing act. Remember, it's all about finding the right balance. You want to be there for the people you care about, but you also need to respect your own time and energy. Don't be afraid to say no sometimes, and don't feel guilty about prioritizing your own needs. As the contemporary Stoic philosopher Ryan Holiday puts it, "The single most important practice in Stoic philosophy is differentiating between what we can change and what we can't, what we have influence over and what we do not." So start setting those boundaries. Prioritize your own well-being and watch as your value in the eyes of others starts to rise. Remember, you're not just anyone. You're a valuable individual with a limited amount of time and energy. Treat yourself accordingly, and others will follow suit. Strategy 3. The allure of the enigmatic. The power of strategic revelation. All right, folks, let's unravel the mystique behind our third strategy. Maintain some mystery. Now, I'm not suggesting you transform into a shadowy figure lurking in the corners of social gatherings, whispering cryptic messages. But there's a certain allure, a certain magnetism, in keeping some cards close to your chest. Think about it. Have you ever been drawn to someone who seems to have a hidden depth, a story untold? There's a natural curiosity that sparks within us when we encounter someone who isn't an open book. It's like a puzzle waiting to be solved, a treasure map leading to uncharted territories. The Stoics, those wise folks from ancient times, understood the power of restraint and selective revelation. They believed in focusing on what's within their control, including their own thoughts and actions. As Epictetus famously said, "We have two ears and one mouth, so that we can listen twice as much as we speak." In other words, sometimes the most powerful communication is silence. It allows space for others to fill in the gaps, to create their own narratives, and to become more invested in the process of getting to know you. the curse of oversharing. In today's world of social media and constant connectivity, it's easy to fall into the trap of oversharing. We document every meal, every thought, every mundane detail of our lives. But what happens when we lay it all out on the table? There's no room for imagination, no space for intrigue. Think of it like a magician revealing all their tricks before the show even starts. The magic is gone, the wonder dissipates. The same principle applies to human interaction. When you reveal everything about yourself too soon, you rob the other person of the joy of discovery. The art of strategic revelation. Maintaining some mystery doesn't mean being secretive or deceptive. It's about being selective with what you share and when you share it. It's about revealing yourself gradually, layer by layer, like peeling back the petals of a flower. Don't spill your guts on the first date. It's tempting to want to share your entire life story with someone you're interested in, but resist the urge. Let them get to know you slowly, over time. Leave some questions unanswered. When someone asks you a question, you don't have to give them a complete and detailed answer. A simple, "I'll tell you more about that later," can pique their curiosity and keep them wanting more. Focus on the present moment. Instead of dwelling on the past or worrying about the future, be fully present in the here and now. This will make you seem more grounded and self-assured, which can be incredibly attractive. Modern-day examples. The enigmatic celebrity. Think about your favorite celebrities or public figures. The ones who maintain a certain level of privacy and mystery often seem more intriguing and captivating than those who share every detail of their lives. The slow burn romance. In movies and TV shows, the most compelling love stories are often the ones that develop slowly over time. There's a sense of anticipation and excitement as the characters gradually reveal themselves to each other. The surprise ending. We all love a good plot twist, a surprise ending that leaves us wanting more. The same principle applies to human interaction. When you keep some things to yourself, you create a sense of anticipation and excitement. The Stoic connection. The Stoics believed that true happiness comes from within, not from external validation or approval. By maintaining some mystery, you're not seeking validation from others. You're comfortable in your own skin, and you're not afraid to let people get to know you at their own pace. As the contemporary Stoic philosopher Massimo Pigliucci puts it, the Stoic ideal is not to be a cold, emotionless robot, but rather to be in control of one's emotions so that they don't control us. By maintaining some mystery, you're demonstrating emotional control and self-assurance. You're not letting your need for validation dictate your actions or your interactions with others. The takeaway. Maintaining some mystery is a powerful tool for becoming a priority in someone's life. It creates intrigue, sparks curiosity, and makes people want to invest more time and energy in getting to know you. So, embrace the allure of the enigmatic. Don't be afraid to keep some cards close to your chest. Let people discover the depths of your personality at their own pace. And remember, the most captivating stories are often the ones that unfold slowly, revealing their secrets one page at a time. Strategy 4. The investment principle, the value of earned affection. All right, folks, buckle up, because we're diving into the fascinating world of human psychology and relationships with our fourth strategy: allow them to invest in you. Now, before you start picturing dollar signs and stock portfolios, let's clarify what we mean by investment in this context. We're talking about the investment of time, effort, and emotional energy. The more someone invests in you, the more they value you. It's a simple principle, but it has profound implications for how we build and maintain relationships. Think about it. When you buy a cheap, mass-produced item, you don't usually give it much thought. It's easily replaceable, so you don't feel particularly attached to it. But when you invest in something valuable, something that requires time, effort, or money to acquire, you tend to cherish it more. You take care of it, you appreciate it, and you're less likely to let it go. The same principle applies to relationships. When someone invests in you by spending time with you, listening to your problems, supporting your dreams, they develop a sense of ownership and attachment. They've put something of themselves into the relationship, and that makes them value it more. The Stoic perspective on value. The Stoics, those wise philosophers from ancient Greece and Rome, were all about understanding the true nature of value. They believed that external things, like wealth or fame, were ultimately indifferent. What mattered was our character, our virtue, and our actions. As Marcus Aurelius, the Roman emperor and Stoic philosopher, wrote in his Meditations, "The happiness of your life depends upon the quality of your thoughts." In other words, true value comes from within. It's not about what others give you, but about what you bring to the table. But here's the interesting twist. When you allow others to invest in you, you're giving them the opportunity to create their own sense of value in the relationship. You're allowing them to contribute, to participate, and to feel like they're a part of something meaningful. The art of receiving. Now, this doesn't mean you should become a passive recipient, expecting others to do all the work. It's about finding a balance between giving and receiving. Don't be afraid to ask for help. We all need help sometimes, whether it's moving furniture, venting about a problem, or getting advice on a decision. Allowing others to help you strengthens the bond between you. Accept compliments graciously. When someone compliments you, don't brush it off or downplay it. Accept it with gratitude and acknowledge their effort to recognize your worth. Express your appreciation. Let people know that you value their investment in you. A simple thank you can go a long way in making someone feel appreciated and valued. Modern day examples. The DIY project. When you build something yourself, whether it's a piece of furniture or a home-cooked meal, you tend to appreciate it more than something you bought pre-made. You've invested your time and effort into it, and that creates a sense of pride and ownership. The volunteer experience. People who volunteer their time and skills often report feeling a greater sense of purpose and fulfillment. They're contributing to something larger than themselves, and that creates a sense of value and belonging. The hard-earned promotion. A promotion that's earned through hard work and dedication feels more rewarding than one that's simply handed to you. You've invested your time and energy into achieving it, and that makes it more valuable. The balancing act. Remember, it's all about finding the right balance. You want to allow others to invest in you, but you also need to be mindful of their boundaries and limitations. Don't take advantage of their generosity or expect them to always be there for you. As the contemporary Stoic philosopher William B. Irvine puts it, "The goal of Stoicism is to live a happy life, and one way to do this is to avoid becoming overly dependent on things that are outside our control." So allow others to invest in you, but don't become reliant on their investment for your own happiness or self-worth. Cultivate your own inner strength and value, and let their investment be a complement to your own self-worth, not the sole source of it. By mastering the art of receiving, you're not only strengthening your relationships, but you're also fostering a sense of mutual respect and appreciation. You're creating a dynamic where both parties feel valued and invested in the connection. And that, my friends, is the foundation of a truly meaningful and lasting bond. Strategy 5, the self-love revolution, the bedrock of being a priority. All right, folks, let's get real for a minute. We're diving into the heart of the matter with Strategy 5. Prioritize your needs. Now, before you roll your eyes and mutter something about self-care being a buzzword, hear me out. This isn't about bubble baths and face masks, although those can be lovely. It's about something much deeper, something the Stoics called eudaimonia. Eudaimonia, often translated as flourishing or well-being, is the ultimate goal of Stoic philosophy. It's about living a life of virtue in accordance with nature and reason. And guess what? You can't achieve eudaimonia if you're constantly neglecting your own needs and putting everyone else first. The Stoics understood that true happiness and fulfillment come from within. It's not about external validation or approval, but about living a life that's aligned with your values and purpose. As Marcus Aurelius wisely said, "The happiness of your life depends upon the quality of your thoughts." So how does this translate into becoming a priority in someone else's life? Well, it's simple. You can't expect others to prioritize you if you don't prioritize yourself. Think about it. If you're constantly running on empty, neglecting your own health, happiness, and dreams, you're not showing up as your best self. You're not radiating the kind of energy and confidence that attracts others and makes them want to invest in you. The self-love myth. Now, let's address the elephant in the room. Self-love often gets a bad rap. It's associated with narcissism, selfishness, and an inflated ego. But true self-love is none of those things. It's about recognizing your own worth, respecting your own boundaries, and making choices that support your overall well-being. It's about treating yourself with the same kindness and compassion that you would extend to a loved one. As the contemporary Stoic philosopher Massimo Pigliucci puts it, self-love is not about being selfish or narcissistic. It's about recognizing that you are a valuable human being and that you deserve to be treated with respect, both by yourself and by others. The ripple effect. When you prioritize your own needs, it creates a ripple effect that extends into all areas of your life, including your relationships. You become more attractive. When you're taking care of yourself, you radiate confidence and self-assurance. This is incredibly attractive to others, as it signals that you're not dependent on them for your happiness or validation. You set healthy boundaries. When you prioritize your needs, you're more likely to set and enforce healthy boundaries in your relationships. This shows others that you respect yourself and your time, which earns their respect in return. You attract people who value you. When you value yourself, you're more likely to attract people who also value you. You'll naturally gravitate towards relationships that are mutually supportive and fulfilling. Modern-day examples. The burnt-out employee. We all know that person who's constantly working late, sacrificing their personal life for their job. They might be successful in their career, but they're often unhappy and unfulfilled in other areas of their life. The people-pleaser. The people-pleaser is always putting others' needs before their own. They might be well-liked, but they often struggle with resentment and feelings of being taken for granted. The self-care advocate. The self-care advocate prioritizes their own well-being, both physically and mentally. They might not always be available, but they're generally happier and more fulfilled, which makes them more attractive to be around. The Stoic challenge. The Stoics challenge us to examine our priorities and make sure that we're not neglecting our own needs in the pursuit of external validation or approval. As Epictetus said, "First say to yourself what you would be, and then do what you have to do." So, take a moment to reflect on your own life. Are you prioritizing your needs? Are you taking care of your physical, mental, and emotional well-being? If not, it's time to make some changes. Remember, you're not being selfish by prioritizing your needs. You're simply recognizing your own worth and taking responsibility for your own happiness. And when you do that, you'll naturally become a priority in the lives of those who truly matter. So, go forth and embrace the self-love revolution. Prioritize your needs, set healthy boundaries, and create a life that's truly fulfilling. You deserve it. Strategy 6. The orbit of self, the gravity of an independent life. All right, folks, let's talk about a strategy that might sound a bit counterintuitive at first. Don't make them the center of your life. Now, I know what you're thinking. If I want someone to prioritize me, shouldn't I be making them the center of my world? Well, not exactly. It's natural to want to focus on someone you care about, to shower them with attention and affection. But when you make someone the sole focus of your life, a few things happen. First, you risk losing yourself in the process. Your own identity, your own interests, your own dreams start to fade into the background as you revolve entirely around this other person. And that's not healthy for anyone involved. Second, you create a power imbalance. When someone becomes the center of your universe, they hold all the cards. They know they have your undivided attention, and they might start to take it for granted. And finally, you become less interesting. When your entire life revolves around one person, you lose some of your own spark, your own individuality, and that can make you less attractive and less compelling to be around. The Stoic perspective on self-reliance. The Stoics were big proponents of self-reliance and inner strength. They believed that true happiness comes from within, not from external sources like relationships or possessions. As Epictetus put it, "No man is free who is not master of himself." In other words, you can't be truly happy or fulfilled if you're constantly seeking validation and approval from others. You need to cultivate your own sense of self-worth, your own passions and interests, and your own independent life. The allure of the independent spirit. Think about the people you find most attractive and intriguing. Are they the ones who are clingy and needy? Or are they the ones who have their own lives, their own passions, and their own sense of purpose? It's often the latter. People are naturally drawn to those who exude confidence and independence. They're like magnets, pulling others into their orbit without even trying. So, how do you cultivate this kind of magnetic energy? Pursue your passions. What are you passionate about? What makes you feel alive and excited? Make time for those things, even if it means spending less time with the person you're interested in. Nurture your friendships. Don't neglect your other relationships in favor of one person. Maintain strong connections with your friends and family. They'll provide you with support and perspective, and they'll remind you that you have a life outside of this one relationship. set goals and work towards them. Having goals and aspirations gives you a sense of purpose and direction. It shows that you're not just drifting through life, waiting for someone else to give it meaning. Modern day examples. The cool girl trope. In movies and TV shows, the cool girl is often portrayed as the independent, self-assured woman who doesn't need a man to complete her. She's got her own life, her own friends, and her own interests, and that makes her incredibly attractive to the male protagonist. The successful entrepreneur. Successful entrepreneurs are often driven and passionate individuals who have a clear vision for their lives. They're not afraid to take risks and pursue their dreams, and that makes them inspiring and admirable. The well-rounded individual. People who have a variety of interests and hobbies are often more interesting and engaging to be around. They have stories to tell, experiences to share, and a zest for life that's contagious. The balancing act. Now, don't get me wrong. This doesn't mean you should neglect the person you care about or become completely unavailable. It's about finding a healthy balance between your own needs and the needs of the relationship. As the contemporary Stoic philosopher Ryan Holiday puts it, the key to a good life is not giving a fuck about more. It's giving a fuck about less. Giving a fuck about only what is true and immediate and important. So prioritize your own well-being, pursue your passions, and nurture your other relationships. By creating a rich and fulfilling life for yourself, you'll become a more attractive and compelling partner, and you'll increase the chances of being seen as a priority in someone else's life. Remember, you're not just an accessory to someone else's story. You're the main character in your own life. So, go out there and live it to the fullest. The right person will appreciate your independence and be drawn to your vibrant energy. And that, my friends, is the true path to becoming a priority in someone's life. Strategy 7, the silent treatment, the strategic kind, the power of absence in communication. All right, folks, let's talk about a strategy that might feel a little uncomfortable at first. Stop initiating communication all the time. Now, I know in our hyper-connected world, where texts, DMs, and notifications fly faster than a caffeinated hummingbird, the idea of not reaching out first can seem downright radical. But here's the thing. Constantly being the initiator can subtly shift the power dynamics in a relationship. It can make you seem a little too eager, a little too available. And let's face it, nobody wants to feel like they're chasing someone who's always two steps ahead, waving and shouting, "Hey, wait for me!" The Stoics, those wise folks from ancient times, were all about balance and self-control. They understood that true strength comes from within, not from external validation or constant reassurance. Epictetus hit the nail on the head when he said, "If you want to improve, be content to be thought foolish and stupid." In other words, don't be afraid to step back from the constant communication treadmill, even if it feels a bit awkward or uncomfortable at first. The dance of reciprocity. Healthy relationships are built on reciprocity. It's a give and take, a back and forth flow of energy and attention. When you're always the one initiating contact, you disrupt that natural rhythm. You're essentially doing all the heavy lifting, leaving the other person to simply receive your efforts without having to put in much effort themselves. And let's be honest, that can get exhausting. It's like being the only one paddling a canoe. Sure, you might make some progress, but eventually you're going to get tired and frustrated. So, what's the alternative? It's time to create some space, to let the other person step up to the plate. By pulling back on your initiation of communication, you're sending a subtle but powerful message. I'm valuable, my time is precious, and I'm not going to chase after your attention. The fear of silence. Now, I know what you're thinking. But what if they don't reach out? What if they forget about me? That's where the fear kicks in. We're so used to constant communication that silence can feel like a gaping void, a sign that something's wrong. But here's the truth. Silence can also be incredibly powerful. It allows space for reflection, for introspection, and for the other person to realize just how much they miss your presence in their life. As the contemporary Stoic philosopher Ryan Holiday puts it, the space between stimulus and response is where we become who we are. In other words, by resisting the urge to fill every moment with communication, you're giving yourself and the other person the opportunity to truly appreciate the value of your connection. Modern-day examples. The text message game. We've all been there. You send a text, and then you wait, and wait, and wait for a reply. The longer the silence, the more anxious you become. But sometimes, the best thing you can do is put your phone down and go about your day. Let them come to you. The social media blackout. When someone takes a break from social media, it can create a sense of mystery and intrigue. People start to wonder where they went, what they're up to, and whether they're okay. It can even prompt them to reach out and check in. The long-distance relationship. Long-distance relationships force couples to be more intentional about their communication. They can't rely on constant physical presence, so they have to find other ways to stay connected and nurture their bond. The Stoic reminder. Remember, the Stoics believed that true happiness comes from within, not from external validation or constant attention. By resisting the urge to initiate communication all the time, you're reinforcing your own self-worth and independence. You're showing yourself and the other person that you're not reliant on their attention to feel good about yourself. As Marcus Aurelius wrote, very little is needed to make a happy life. It is all within yourself, in your way of thinking. So, take a step back from the communication frenzy. Let the other person reach out to you for a change. Embrace the silence and let it speak volumes about your self-assurance and inner strength. You might be surprised at how it shifts the dynamics of your relationships and brings you the attention and prioritization you deserve. Remember, you're not a vending machine dispensing attention on demand. You're a valuable individual with a life of your own. And sometimes, the most powerful message you can send is the sound of silence. Strategy 8. The inner citadel of joy, the Stoic path to self-generated happiness. All right, folks. Let's talk about a strategy that's not just about getting someone to prioritize you, but it's also about living a more fulfilling and joyful life in general. Create your own happiness. Now, this might sound like a cliche, something you'd see on a motivational poster or a self-help book cover. But trust me, there's a profound wisdom behind this seemingly simple advice. The Stoics, those ancient philosophers who were all about practical wisdom and living a good life, understood that true happiness doesn't come from external circumstances or other people. It comes from within. Epictetus put it bluntly, happiness is a matter of internal, not external, goods. In other words, you can't rely on someone else to make you happy. That's like building your house on rented land. It's unstable, it's precarious, and it's ultimately out of your control. the happiness trap. We live in a world that constantly bombards us with messages about what should make us happy. Buy this product, achieve this goal, look like this person, and you'll finally be happy. But the truth is, happiness that's dependent on external factors is fleeting and unreliable. Think about it. Have you ever gotten something you really wanted, only to find that the initial excitement quickly fades away? Or have you ever felt down because someone didn't give you the attention or validation you were seeking? That's the happiness trap. It's the belief that our happiness is contingent on things outside of ourselves, and it's a recipe for disappointment and frustration. The Stoic alternative. The Stoics offered a different path to happiness, one that's rooted in inner strength, self-reliance, and a focus on what's within our control. Marcus Aurelius, the Roman emperor and Stoic philosopher, wrote in his Meditations, "You have power over your mind, not outside events. Realize this, and you will find strength." In other words, true happiness comes from cultivating a mindset that's resilient, adaptable, and focused on the present moment. It's about finding joy in the simple things, appreciating what you have, and not getting caught up in the pursuit of external validation. Cultivating inner joy. So, how do you create your own happiness? Here are a few tips, inspired by the Stoics. Practice gratitude. Take time each day to appreciate the good things in your life, no matter how small. This could be a warm cup of coffee, a beautiful sunset, or a kind gesture from a friend. Focus on what you can control. Don't waste your energy worrying about things you can't change. Focus on your own actions, your own thoughts, and your own attitude. Live in the present moment. Don't dwell on the past or worry about the future. Be fully present in the here and now and savor the richness of each experience. Pursue meaningful activities. Engage in activities that bring you joy and fulfillment, whether it's reading, writing, painting, hiking, or spending time with loved ones. Cultivate strong relationships. Surround yourself with people who uplift and support you. Positive relationships can be a great source of happiness and well-being. Modern day examples. The minimalist movement. Minimalism is all about simplifying your life and focusing on what truly matters. By decluttering your physical space and your mental clutter, you create more room for joy and contentment. Mindfulness meditation. Mindfulness meditation teaches you to be fully present in the moment, without judgment. This can help you cultivate a sense of inner peace and calm, even in the midst of chaos. The gratitude journal. Keeping a gratitude journal is a simple but powerful way to cultivate a more positive outlook on life. By writing down a few things you're grateful for each day, you train your brain to focus on the good. The magnetic effect. When you create your own happiness, you become a magnet for others. People are naturally drawn to those who exude joy, confidence, and self-assurance. And here's the kicker. When you're not dependent on someone else for your happiness, you become less needy and clingy. You're not constantly seeking their attention or validation, which can actually make them want to prioritize you more. As the contemporary Stoic philosopher William B. Irvine puts it, "The goal of Stoicism is to live a happy life, and one way to do this is to avoid becoming overly dependent on things that are outside our control." So, take charge of your own happiness. Cultivate inner joy, practice gratitude, and focus on what you can control. By doing so, you'll not only become a priority in your own life, but you'll also become a more attractive and compelling person to be around. Remember, happiness is an inside job. It's not something you find, it's something you create. And when you master the art of creating your own happiness, you'll naturally become a priority in the lives of those who truly matter. Strategy 9. The ultimate power move, the liberating art of walking away. All right, folks, let's talk about the final strategy in our arsenal, and it's a big one. Be willing to walk away. Now, this might sound a bit drastic, even a little scary, but trust me, it's one of the most empowering and liberating moves you can make in any relationship. The Stoics, those wise philosophers from ancient times, were all about self-respect and inner strength. They understood that true freedom comes from not being attached to things that are outside of our control, including other people's opinions and affections. As Epictetus famously said, "No man is free who is not master of himself." In other words, you can't be truly free if you're constantly seeking validation and approval from others. You need to be willing to walk away from any situation or relationship that doesn't serve your highest good. The fear of loss. Now I know what you're thinking, but what if I walk away and they don't come after me? What if I lose them forever? That's where the fear kicks in. We're so afraid of losing people we care about that we often stay in relationships that are no longer healthy or fulfilling. We settle for crumbs of attention, hoping that things will magically get better. But here's the truth. Sometimes the most loving thing you can do for yourself and for the other person is to walk away. It's about recognizing your own worth and refusing to settle for anything less than you deserve. As the contemporary Stoic philosopher Ryan Holiday puts it, "The only way to be truly satisfied is to do what you believe is great work. And the only way to do great work is to love what you do. If you haven't found it yet, keep looking. Don't settle." The power of choice. Walking away is not about giving up or being cold-hearted. It's about exercising your power of choice. It's about saying, "I deserve to be treated with respect, and I'm not going to tolerate anything less." When you're willing to walk away, you're sending a powerful message to yourself and to the other person. You're saying, "I value myself, my time, and my well-being, and I'm not going to compromise on those things." Modern-day examples. The toxic friendship. We all have that one friend who's always bringing us down, draining our energy, and making us feel bad about ourselves. Walking away from that friendship can be tough, but it's ultimately the best thing for your mental and emotional health. The dead-end job. If you're stuck in a job that you hate, that's making you miserable, and that's not aligned with your values, it might be time to walk away. It takes courage, but it can open up new opportunities and lead to a more fulfilling career path. The unhealthy relationship. If you're in a relationship that's toxic, abusive, or simply not serving you anymore, it's time to walk away. You deserve to be with someone who loves and respects you and who makes you feel good about yourself. The Stoic reminder. The Stoics remind us that we can't control other people's actions or choices. We can only control our own. As Marcus Aurelius wrote, "You have power over your mind, not outside events. Realize this, and you will find strength." By being willing to walk away, you're taking back control of your life. You're not letting others dictate your happiness or your self-worth. You're making a conscious choice to prioritize your own well-being, and that's incredibly empowering. The paradox of walking away. Here's the interesting thing about walking away. Sometimes it's the very thing that makes someone realize your value. When you're no longer readily available, when you're not chasing after their attention, they might start to see you in a new light. they might realize what they're missing and make an effort to win you back. But even if they don't, that's okay. You've done what's best for you. You've honored your own worth and set a powerful example of self-respect. And that, my friends, is the ultimate victory. The takeaway. Being willing to walk away is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength. It's about recognizing your own value and refusing to settle for anything less than you deserve. So don't be afraid to walk away from any situation or relationship that's not serving you. Embrace your freedom, prioritize your well-being, and trust that the right people and opportunities will come into your life when you're ready for them. Remember, you're the author of your own story. And the most empowering chapter you can write is the one where you walk away from anything that diminishes your light and embrace a life that's filled with joy, purpose, and self-love. So, there you have it. 9 solid strategies to help you become a priority in someone's life. It might take some time and effort, but if you stick with these tips, you'll start noticing the difference. People will see your value, and you'll feel more appreciated and recognized for who you are and what you bring to the table. Remember, it's not about changing who you are or playing games. It's about understanding how relationships work and making sure you're putting yourself in a position where you're valued. So, take what you've learned here, start applying it, and watch how things start to shift in your favor. Thanks for tuning in, and don't forget to share your thoughts or experiences in the comments. I'd love to hear how these strategies work for you. If you found this helpful, make sure to like, subscribe, and stay tuned for more episodes packed with tips to help you level up your life. Until next time, take care and keep shining.